How Deep These Bright-Eyed Feelings by Plowligator. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, Nirvana and Fire. Pairing, Lin Shu or Mei Changsu or Su Zhe. Xiao Jingyan. Rating, explicit. No archive warnings apply. After the exile of Xie Yu and Jingyan's own corresponding rise in the court, he and Mei Changsu met nearly every day to discuss some issue or another, sometimes in Jingyan's manor, sometimes in the Su household, and, with increasing frequency, in the hidden room during the late hours of the night, where they could work uninterrupted. Jingyan couldn't help but enjoy these meetings, an impulse as inevitable as it was doomed. He had long learned that his heart was immune to reason, and he could no more help its inexplicable fondness for the strange, prickly Sir Su than he could help its steady beat in his chest. It didn't matter. Nothing would come of it, and there was no one to admit it to. If Mei Changsu seemed softer in the dim, private space of the secret room, his smiles more free, his hair loose down his back and shining in the candlelight, there was no one to know but Jingyan. And Jingyan had years of practice in boxing away inconvenient desires. He still had to fight down an irrational twinge of disappointment, jealousy, whenever their quiet camaraderie was interrupted, even if it was only by Mei Changsu's physician, who came in at the same time every night to deliver Mei Changsu's medicine, and then stayed to see that he drank it. Jingyan was beginning to get the impression that Mei Changsu was a somewhat trying patient, and though he had barely exchanged two words with the man's doctor, was rather in sympathy with him. That night it was different. The physician placed the medicine down on the table as usual, and Mei Changsu murmured his thanks and lifted the cup. Then, halfway to his mouth, he paused and cocked his head. Lifting a hand, he wafted the steam to his nose, then peered at the physician in silent question. Jingyan caught some of the scent from it, sweeter than he normally would associate with medicine, but strong, like wine. "A new formula," said the physician, "suggested by young Master Lin. It should aid in..." His eyes cut ever so briefly to Jingyan, relaxing the chest and soothing the throat. Not for the first time. Jingyan reflected that Mei Changsu's illness was, like the man himself, a deliberate enigma. He did not bother to hide the fact that he was in poor health. In fact, it was impossible to miss with his pale, sunken face and bony limbs, always swaddled in layers of furs and robes. But both the man himself and the whole of his household were tight-lipped to the point of secrecy on the specifics. Jingyan had initially tried to find out more, mostly by observation. But despite his mother's patient efforts in his boyhood, he had no great grasp of the medical arts, and Mei Changsu was very careful in his behavior. "Hmm," said Mei Changsu, and drained the contents of the cup, apparently satisfied. "Thank you, Dr. Yen," he said, placing the cup back on the tray. The man bowed silently and withdrew. "My apologies, Your Highness, for the interruption," said Mei Changsu. Jingyan waved it off.
"Your health is most important," he said. "My mother is a very skilled doctor. Perhaps I could ask."
Mei Changsu laughed softly. "My thanks, Your Highness. But I would not presume to trouble an esteemed person, such as Noble Consort Jing, with my trivial problems. My health has been this way for many years, and my doctors have made sure it is well managed. Shall we continue where we left off?" Impeccably polite, but still firmly a denial, Jingyan was left with no choice but to go along with the change in topic. He nodded in acknowledgement and turned back to his work. They worked companionably for some time, speaking when necessary, but each focused on his own task. In such close quarters, with only a small table separating them, it was only natural that Jing Yan would be aware of Mei Chang Su's presence. He wasn't staring, but surely it was understandable that his eye might catch on the revealed skin of Mei Chang Su's wrist as he lifted his hand to write. So he noticed, then, when Mei Chang Su's hand began to slow, his brush pausing halfway through a page before resuming sluggishly. Jing Yan looked up. Mei Chang Su was gazing off into the distance. Was his posture a little more slumped than usual?
Sir Su?
He asked, and when there was no response,
Sir Su?
A blink, then, and the familiar sharpness came back into Mei Chang Su's eyes.
Hmm?
He said.
Is something wrong?
Asked Jing Yan.
Are you unwell?
Mei Chang Su's brow furrowed slightly, as if deep in thought.
I feel strange, he said slowly.
Jing Yan had been so certain of the now familiar deflection that even this slight admission of weakness was alarming. He sat forward, concerned.
Should I call for Dr. Yan?
He asked. No, said Mei Chang Su. He frowned, then shook his head.
No, I'm quite all right. I apologize if I alarmed your highness.
Jing Yan turned his attention back to his work somewhat reluctantly, keeping half an eye on Mei Chang Su as he did. There didn't seem to be anything obviously wrong. He wasn't coughing or shivering. Perhaps it really was nothing. Still, Jing Yan took the opportunity to surreptitiously nudge the brazier closer to Mei Chang Su's side of the table before going back to his reading. He had rather a lot of reading these days, and a large part of it seemed to be designed solely to waste his time. Trying to ascertain what was really important and what was just ministers exaggerating in a bid for funds or power was a tedious exercise, and one that pushed Jing Yan to the edge of his patience. He skimmed through the time wasters as quickly as possible in order to focus on another report from Shen Tui about the now depressingly familiar and seemingly inescapable problem of corruption in the ministries. Bribes, favoritism, outright theft. It was like trying to staunch the bleeding of 1,000 tiny wounds at once.
What do you make of this, Sir Su?
He asked, momentarily caught up in the problem in front of him. He passed the sheet of paper over to Mei Chang Su. Their fingers brushed, dry and cool. Mei Chang Su bent his head to read. The fingertips of his other hand rubbed lightly together.
Hmm,
he said after a moment.
Contemptible.
Jing Yan blinked.
Pardon?
He asked. Unsure if he'd misheard, Mei Chang Su opened his hand and let the report fall to the table, an elegant gesture of dismissal.
I am constantly in awe, he said, of how His Majesty's administration seems to find the most incompetent people for the job. Truly, it must take dedication to keep the ranks so base and corrupt.
In all the time of their association, Jing Yan had never heard Mei Chang Su express a personal judgment on the conduct of others. He peered at the man. His movements seemed a little more languid, his cheeks sporting an unusual pink flush.
Sir Su, are you sure you're feeling all right?
He asked hesitantly.
I feel very well, said Mei Chang Su. I think Lin Chen's medicine is working. It's a nice change from those awful tonics he forces on me normally. I've never liked the taste of medicine, you know. I always used to...
He stopped abruptly, shook his head quickly as if clearing it.
No, never mind that.
Was that it? Medicine took some people strangely, Jing Yan knew. Wounded men might ramble, or weep, or see visions, all because of some mixture of herbs or another.
Perhaps we should end here for tonight,
said Jing Yan cautiously.
I'm sure Sir Su could use some rest.
No need, no need, said Mei Changsu. We were discussing Xinjue's report. He scowled. Under Prince Qi, things would never be like this. The breath went out of Jing Yan like he'd been hit. For someone to speak his brother's name so casually and entirely without fear was nigh unthinkable. Mei Changsu had said once that he admired Prince Qi.
You favored Prince Qi as heir,
Jing Yan said, not quite a question.
I expected to spend my life in his service, said Mei Changsu simply, and looked up. His eyes were dark, a well into which light fell but did not reflect. But now, in his stead, I serve another.
Jing Yan couldn't pretend not to know what he was referring to.
I know I wasn't your first choice,
he said, careful.
Of course you were my first choice, said Mei Changsu impatiently, and Jing Yan's world tilted around him.
He had been thrown from a horse once as a young man, and this felt similar. The shock, the feel of being unmoored, hurtling at great speed until the ground came unforgiving to meet him.
You were my only choice, continued Mei Changsu as if nothing was wrong, as if he was unaware of the weight of his words. Who could I have chosen other than you? But,
Jing Yan stuttered, dizzy with confusion.
You said.
I lied, said Mei Changsu. You dislike strategists and those with hidden motives. Why would you trust one claiming to support you out of nothing but goodwill? But if there was a believable motive in it for me, you might agree. By making myself untrustworthy, it actually made it easier for you to trust me. This chain of logic was convoluted, but when Jing Yan fought his way through it, made a sort of twisted sense. Jing Yan would take a straightforward villain, any day, over a snake like Prince Yu, who pretended at nobility. The only thing he couldn't understand was...
Why?
Managed Jing Yan.
I'm not.
He stalled, unable to continue, but surely Mei Changsu already knew. Why go to all the trouble of plans and lying in order to choose Jing Yan in the first place? Who in their right mind would choose Jing Yan to succeed the throne, rather than settle for him? Contrary to what some might believe, he knew his own flaws intimately. As far as good qualities went, he was a good soldier, a fair and decent commander to his men, and a filial son to his mother. Other than that, there wasn't much to say. He was poor at scholarly pursuits and mediocre at diplomacy. He had never acclimated to the atmosphere of the court and had no gift for oratory, nor any kind of charisma to speak of. He had a bad temper, was strict on others and stricter on himself. He would never inspire loyalty like Prince Qi. That he was even in a position to vie for the throne was an accident of circumstance rather than personality.
I'm not suited to it,
he said finally. The statement inadequate to the magnitude of the situation. Mei Changsu leaned forward. His eyes glittered, and the fierceness in them was like a cold blast of wind. It made the hairs on the back of Jing Yan's neck stand up.
Your Highness, I would choose you over any man in this kingdom or the next, he said in a low voice. You're worth 10 of them. Do you hear?
Jing Yan's chest felt tight suddenly, his head swimming and faint, and he had to draw in a deep, gulping breath. Blindly, he reached out to grip the edge of the table, using the touch to ground himself. Mei Changsu must be fevered, or else the medication was working on his mind, making him talk nonsense, This couldn't be real. He shook his head mutely, unsure if he was contradicting Mei Changsu or himself.
You don't see it, said Mei Changsu. Somehow he had moved closer, so the table was no longer between them, close enough that their knees were almost touching. Mei Changsu was not a large man, but he seemed to be towering over Jing Yan from a great height. Those eyes were still boring into him, and he couldn't look away.
You don't see it. How can you not see?
Jing.
Prince Jing.
Certainty ran through Jing Yan like cold water. He knew, he just knew, that Mei Changsu had been about to say Jing Yan instead of Jing Wang, and the thought left him weak. Whether it was from relief or disappointment, he couldn't tell. Mei Changsu took a deep breath, visibly bringing himself under control. But he was still flushed, pink splotches high up on his cheekbones.
Your Highness, he said slowly and deliberately. In every way, you outclass your brothers. You outclass your father, and most everyone else in this poisonous pit of a court. You are noble, and strong, and very beautiful.
Jing Yan physically flinched. He couldn't help it. His face burned. He wished this would end, and at the same time, he wished it never would. Mei Changsu didn't notice. His tone was becoming increasingly urgent, as if this were a matter of great importance for Jing Yan to understand.
Your Highness, he said again, I wasn't prepared that day in the palace. When I saw you, for a moment I forgot all my plans, everything. All I could think was that you looked so lovely, so stern. I wanted to erase that frown from your brow and make you smile at me. I wanted you at my feet. I wanted you.
Jing Yan could take no more. Acting without thought, he lunged forward and clapped a hand over Mei Changsu's mouth, cutting him off. His heart was thundering in his ears, not helped by the gentle, damp warmth of Mei Changsu's breath against his palm.
No more, he forced out.
Mei Changsu blinked once, twice. Then slowly the color began to drain from his face. Jing Yan withdrew his hand.
Your Highness, said Mei Changsu, his complexion ashen. He looked as if he was about to be sick. I have to go, said Jing Yan, hastily rising. I should not. Sir Su should rest. I am intruding.
He bowed just long enough to be polite and set off in long strides down the passageway, aware that he was fleeing like a coward. He thought he heard Mei Changsu call faintly after him, but he didn't stop until he was up the stairs and safely back in his study. Only then did he allow himself to sink to the floor and bury his face in his shaking hands. He couldn't avoid Mei Changsu forever, especially not when they were bound together by political scheming that edged closer to treason than Jing Yan was comfortable thinking about. Still, the first two times that Mei Changsu came to see him, Jing Yan couldn't bear to go through with the meeting. It was only on the third try, when Liu Jiangying came in with an expression of disquiet on his face, saying, Your Highness, I hate to press, but I think Sir Su is not well. That Jing Yan gave in. Mei Changsu did not look well at all. His face was still that same waxy pale it had been that night in the tunnel, hands twisting in his robes.
Your Highness,
said Mei Changsu, and before Jing Yan could react, sank into a full bow.
Please forgive me. My conduct the last time we spoke was beyond shameful. Truly, I have no excuse.
Sir Su,
exclaimed Jing Yan, kneeling himself in alarm. For goodness' sake, the man was ill. He shouldn't be lying on the ground.
Please get up. Your Highness, I must apologize properly,
said Mei Changsu, his forehead still touching the floor.
I know the attentions of one such as myself would naturally be repulsive to your highness, but I swear I would never presume any kind of claim on you. Please forget I said anything at all.
What?
Said Jing Yan. Was he mishearing things? Surely that could not be.
Say that again.
Mei Changsu was silent. Jing Yan had no way of seeing his expression.
I said that I know.
Mei Changsu said tightly,
I know the attentions of one such as myself would provoke only disgust.
Get up,
said Jing Yan, more harshly than he meant it, but he had to see. He had to look Mei Changsu in the eye. The man raised his head. He looked wretched.
Disgust?
Asked Jing Yan.
Is that what you thought I was feeling?
Naturally, said Mei Changsu, whose gaze kept slipping away. I understand your highness's feelings toward me. Jing Yan almost laughed aloud at that, bitter understanding breaking over him.
So, he said, the rumors are exaggerated then. There are things of which the Qilian scholar is ignorant.
Mei Changsu's lips pressed together, and he stared fixedly at a spot on the floor.
I humbly apologize to your highness for my failings, but my lack of knowledge in this instance does not affect my ability to serve you.
Jing Yan, impatient, interrupted him.
The Qilian scholar is not omnipotent. If he were, he would know that what I was feeling was far from disgust.
I spoke out of turn, said Mei Changsu to the floor, and defended your highness with my words. You were gracious to stop me before I said anything further. Of all the frustrating, intractable... Mei Changsu had no right to lecture Jing Yan about stubbornness behaving like this. Jing Yan closed his eyes and took a calming breath.
You weren't in control of yourself,
he said, biting out each word deliberately.
Sir Su, surely you know that under the thrall of some substances, people say things they don't mean.
That, at least, got Mei Changsu's attention. His gaze snapped forward, eyes wide with distress.
Your Highness,
he said, and then stopped.
I am not so unjust as to blame you for things you said when you weren't in your right mind.
Jing Yan said, keeping his tone as level as possible.
But I wanted to make sure you didn't say anything you would regret.
Your Highness, said Mei Changsu again, voice tight.
Your Highness, I meant every word,
he said finally, and met Jing Yan's eyes.
If you trust nothing else I say, at least trust this.
Jing Yan stared.
But why?
He asked in disbelief. Mei Changsu's eyebrows lifted.
I thought I had expressed that in some detail,
he said somewhat stiffly, and Jing Yan felt heat rush to his cheeks.
No, no, he said hastily. That's not... I mean, you did, but I...
He stumbled over his words, cursing his clumsy tongue. Xiao Shu would have laughed at him. Xiao Shu always knew what to say.
I don't think of myself as admirable in that way.
Yes, said Mei Changsu. I do see that, and I am beginning to think that more people should be making your highness aware of his admirable qualities.
I don't care about other people,
said Jing Yan without thinking. And Mei Changsu went still.
You don't, he said,
half a question, and then, as if only just realizing it.
What you were feeling was far from disgust.
It was entirely possible that the smart choice here would be to lie, to save his own dignity and image. That was, actually, the exact sort of advice that Mei Changsu would give.
But Jingyan had already proven that he didn't care for his image, and he was too foolishly soft-hearted to lie about this.
I don't care about others, but Sir Su is someone who I admire very much,
he said haltingly.
I find that words from him leave me more affected.
When he dared to look back up, Nei Changsu was staring at him, and kept staring, an unreadable expression on his face. Silence trailed out between them, and Jingyan's heart dropped down to his stomach as he braced himself for the reply.
For me to speak to your highness in such a way was a presumption.
Mei Changsu began and stopped. Mei Changsu had, in fact, been nothing but presumptuous since the very first moment of their acquaintance, with a sort of unshakable surety in his own rightness that at first had made Jingyan dislike him, and now provoked other feelings. He did not know what to make of the fact that Mei Changsu was hesitating now.
From Sir Su, I would permit it,
said Jingyan, and promptly wanted to sink through the floor in embarrassment. Surely this was saying too much.
I see,
said Mei Changsu hoarsely.
I see.
He took a long breath.
Then it seems the duty falls to me to tell your highness these things. To say that to me, your highness is a precious treasure abandoned in a dusty storeroom. Foolish people won't recognize its true value, which is immeasurable.
To hear Mei Changsu say such things in his cool, assured voice was exactly as devastating as Jingyan had hoped and feared. It ran down his spine like water, making him shiver. He couldn't believe it. How could Mei Changsu possibly value him so highly? But a part of him was opening to it anyway, thirsty and grasping. He wanted more. But he shouldn't.
Sir Su is very gracious to say so,
he said, attempting to push the conversation back on more solid footing.
And now I hope you understand that no apology is needed.
He nodded and then began to rise.
Wait.
It was the abruptness that caught his attention, the lack of formality, a command, not a request. And it automatically brought Jingyan back to a seated position before he could fully realize what was happening.
I wasn't finished,
said Mei Changsu with silken mildness. He folded his hands on his lap, as if preparing to lecture Jingyan on strategy.
Those at court think you are strict and unyielding, but they do not see the fairness and good judgment that makes you beloved by those you command. They do not see the way you treat an orphaned servant boy with kindness, or the way you would risk your life to help a woman in danger.
His voice softened. Or the consideration you show a sick man.
I am only behaving according to moral principles,
said Jingyan. It was true.
And I am merely sharing what I observe,
said Mei Changsu, and glanced up at Jingyan through lidded eyes. Your Highness. It occurred to Jingyan that Mei Changsu was somewhat uniquely bad at pretending to be an obedient subject, and that he was on the verge of outright contradicting a royal prince. But that seemed unimportant somehow.
If Your Highness will permit, I will share a few more observations,
Mei Changsu said.
I said you were beautiful, I think. I meant that as well.
Jingyan had been trying very hard not to think of that particular part of the conversation, but it could not help but loop back through his mind sometimes, late at night, when he was alone in his bed. He was thinking of it now, and as he met Mei Changsu's eyes, he could tell Mei Changsu knew it.
You are, Your Highness, said Mei Tongsu, voice dropping a little. It's rather frustrating how well you've grown up. His gaze flicked over Jingyan. Down, up, down again. Extremely frustrating. A pause, then, while every one of Jingyan's breaths seemed to him thunderous in the silent room. His muscles were tense, poised on the precipice of Mei Tongsu's words. I find myself wondering, said Mei Tongsu, if anyone has ever shown Your Highness pleasure, whether he has been appreciated the way he deserves. Jingyan could only jerk his head no in reply, tongue too thick in his mouth to speak. He had never had the inclination or desire to seek such a thing out, had never seen the point of going through the embarrassing and unpleasant process of involving another person in the whole business when he had a perfectly good right hand. He was, somewhat, reconsidering the decision now. I see, said Mei Tongsu. That is a shame. But should Your Highness ever have the desire to experience such things, know that in this, as all things, I am Your Highness's devoted servant. Under Jingyan's stunned and disbelieving gaze, he smoothed an invisible crease in his robes and then looked up. His eyes were dark. I promise I would make it good for you. How? The word forced itself out of Jingyan's throat without any conscious thought on his part. He swallowed and forced himself to meet Mei Tongsu's eyes. How? Well, said Mei Tongsu, the single word dropping like a stone into a pond. First, I would have you disrobe, completely. I want you bare to the skin, lying back on your bed. Then I would lavish attention on your body, every part of it, every blemish, every scar, every sensitive spot that no one has touched before. I wouldn't stop until I discovered them all. It might take some time, so I'm afraid Your Highness would have to lie back and be patient. Would that be a problem? Jingyan shook his head mutely. Mei Tongsu smiled, his eyes crinkling. Good. Your Highness is well-disciplined. I know you would perform admirably, he said, and Jingyan felt the breath go punched out of him. Now, where was I? Once I was fully satisfied with my exploration, I think I would want to bring Your Highness to a climax at least once, as a reward for doing so well. The only question is, would I use my hands or my mouth? Jingyan's gaze went like an arrow to where Mei Tongsu's pale, bony hands rested in his lap, impassioning. Hands, then, said Mei Tongsu, sounding amused. And Jingyan went weak and hot with embarrassment, realizing he had blundered directly into Mei Tongsu's trap. I think Your Highness would be ready, but I think I would have you stroke yourself first to show me how you like it. It was becoming impossible to pretend he wasn't affected by this, when his cock was fighting to rise against the heavy layers of his robes. He could practically taste the heady relief it would be to take himself in hand and feel the cool air on his overheated skin. And he had to tighten his grip on his knees to resist the impulse to palm himself through the fabric. Mei Tongsu was watching him. Mei Tongsu, with his sharp eyes and knowing smile, speaking so intimately, like they were sharing a secret. The intensity of his gaze was as palpable as a physical touch, almost hungry. Jingyan could feel it down to his toes, down to the tips of his ears. Good, said Mei Tongsu nonsensically. Good. You're doing so well for me, Your Highness. Something lurched loose in Jingyan, dislodged from where it had been stuck sharp and painful under his sternum.
The gulp of air he took felt like the first clean breath he'd had in years.
How quickly would you reach your release with my hands on you? Continued Mei Changsu. Would you even beg for me? I think you would. Your Highness, you've been rather quiet. Can you show me how nicely you would ask?
In the state he was in, Jing Yan felt no hesitation. His whole body was one thrumming pulse of desire, only loosely held together, and shame was a distant memory. He met Mei Changsu's eyes without fear.
Please,
he said, and it came out as a croak. He had to wet his lips and swallow before he could try again.
Please, Sir Su, please touch me, I need it.
Since he was watching, he saw the moment Mei Changsu's composure broke, eyes going wide and lips parting slightly.
Very, very good, he said finally. How could anyone resist you? No one else sees you like this, do they? No one else gets to see how pretty you look when you reach completion at my hands. I could do anything to you. Fuck your thighs while you're still dripping with your own release. Open you up with my fingers until all you can say is my name.
Mei Changsu,
said Jing Yan, and again,
Mei Changsu.
His balls were drawn tight against his body, his hardness leaving a damp spot on his robes.
So good, so perfect for me,
said Mei Changsu.
Jing Yan, you're so perfect.
Jing Yan's whole body seized as, entirely without warning, he was pushed over the edge of his release. Purple flowers bloomed in the darkness behind his eyelids as he squeezed his eyes shut, fingernails digging into the meat of his palms. He shook and shook for what felt like an eternity, pulses of his seed spilling into the folds of his robes as his own breathing went ragged and gasping in his ears. Compared to the perfunctory release of his own hand, this was a fireworks explosion compared to a candle. He felt raw and exposed, like Mei Changsu had taken a knife to his chest, slitting the skin open to expose open nerves in his pounding heart. He opened his eyes, and the room swam in front of him like he was underwater. His eyes stung. Slowly, he forced his fists to unclench knuckle by knuckle, reached up uncomprehending to touch the wetness on his face.
Your Highness! Your Highness!
The sound of Mei Changsu's voice sent his stomach into a sick swoop. He had just...
In front of this man, he couldn't.
He had to get away.
Xiao Jingyan!
The tone, reaching down to half-buried parts of his soul, brought him back up again like he was crawling his way out of sleep. With an effort, he focused.
Sir Su.
His voice was raspy and thick. It took him two tries to swallow.
My apologies. I don't know what came over me. I'm truly sorry.
He was cut off by a rustle of cloth, and the words died in his throat as Mei Changsu stood and approached him. He swallowed again, braced himself, and stared at a point in the middle distance as his vision slowly filled with gray robes.
Your Highness, said Mei Changsu from far above Jing Yan,
and there was a featherlight touch to the side of his head, just above his temple. Then, ever so gently, a hand smoothing his hair.
Your Highness, you did well for me.
The voice was soft, and so was the hand, and Jing Yan couldn't help but lean into it.
Your Highness showing this side of himself to me was an honor beyond any I have ever experienced.
To Jing Yan's horror and shame, his eyes were getting hot. But Mei Changsu's hand only moved to the back of his head, pushing his face forward until it was pressed against Mei Changsu's hip. Said Mei Changsu, his long fingers pressing into the base of Jing Yan's skull.
I'll take care of your Highness. Just leave everything to me.
The tears were spilling now, entirely without his control, soaking into Mei Tsongsu's robes. Jing Yan breathed out, shuddery, and felt the tension leave his body in a rush.
"Don't be sorry,"
said Mei Tsongsu fiercely.
"Never be sorry. Your Highness is a gift, a treasure beyond any price, and I won't let anyone else have you. Whatever you need, I'll be the one to do it."
His grip tightened a little and his voice dropped.
"From now on, you'll come to me."
"Yes,"
said Jing Yan.
"Yes."
The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.